Appendix 1. Preliminary suggestions for the structure of the Psalms. There are 150 individual psalms comprising the biblical book of Psalms. There are also psalms or songs found in other parts of the Bible. Examples: the Psalm of Moses, Exodus chapter 15 verses 1 through 19, and Revelation chapter 15 verse 3. The Psalm of Deborah and Barak, Judges chapter 5 verses 1 through 31. The Psalm of Habakkuk, which is pure prophecy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Even in the New Testament, there are psalms. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and verses 67 through 79. Psalms and prophecy. Almost all of the psalms positioned outside the Book of Psalms have as their theme the matter of prophecy, usually prophetic teachings regarding the nation of Israel or, sometimes, information about the prophesied Messiah. This prophetic relevance is also found among psalms within the Book of Psalms itself. This has not been fully recognized by many people. Nevertheless, it is true. This can be shown in several ways, but prime teaching on the matter is found in the Book of Chronicles. Chronicles relates that the Psalms were sanctioned to be sung within the temple precincts by regularly assigned Levitical singers. Symbols, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. These special men were consecrated to their tasks by King David and the prophet Samuel, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. There were 24 such designated groups to sing specified psalms in a regular order of administration. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 verses 8 through 31. There were exactly 288 Levites, 12 times 24, who were instructed in the songs, psalms of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 7. These 24 divisions were called wards, and each was accompanied by 12 Levites. The Levitical singing in the temple, which was established by King David, was certainly prophetical. They prophesied according to the order of the king, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2. They prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord, verse 3. One of the principal prophets to King David was Heman the king's seer, prophet, in the words of God, to lift up the horn, verse 5. Even David himself, who composed most of the Psalms in the Bible, was called a prophet by the New Testament, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. The New Testament also said that Asaph, one of the principal men assigned by David to sing the Psalms, was also called a prophet, Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. We thus have abundant evidence from the Old and New Testaments that the Psalms had a prophetic content to them. Many were written by prophets. Indeed, there were more verses quoted in the New Testament from the Book of Psalms, which contained prophecies about Christ and of his future role in human affairs, than from any other book of the Old Testament. Christians thought that King David was very typical of Christ. This fact in itself should show that the Book of Psalms is essentially a prophetical book as much as Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel. And truly, when one really comprehends what the various psalms mean and their relationships to one another within the contexts in which they are placed, a prophetic significance can be seen which is quite evident. Let us now look at the 150 psalms within the Book of Psalms. Their arrangement and contexts should be noted. When surveyed properly, the structure and design might open up some outstanding prophetic teaching that many of us may not have seen before. The Fivefold Structures in the Bible. In the original Hebrew apportionment of the Book of Psalms, the 150 psalms are assorted among five major divisions. These five books are not discernible in the ordinary King James Version, but they are evident in the Hebrew manuscripts. The five divisions are as follows: Psalms 1 through 41, Book 1; Psalms 42 through 72, Book 2; Psalms 73 through 89, Book 3; Psalms 90 through 106, Book 4; Psalms 107 through 150, Book 5. The fact that there are five books is significant. The number has a legal and prophetic symbol attached to it. Actually, the original Ten Commandments were divided into five and five, not four and six as some imagine today. The first five were spiritual, including the honor given to parents, and the last five were social, involving relationships with other human beings. In the book of Isaiah. Prophetically, we can see its importance in the book of Isaiah. The prophet gave some sequential references to the destruction coming upon Israel for their evil. Isaiah gave a fivefold admonition. In fact, one should note the context in which the fivefold repetitive clause is given to understand the full message of Isaiah. 1. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand, God's hand, is stretched out still. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25. 2. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 12. 3. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Chapter 9, verse 17. 4. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Chapter 9, verse 21. 5. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Chapter 10, verse 4. In the book of Amos. This type of fivefold prophetic scheme is also found in the book of Amos. It was intimately connected with prophetic symbolism. 1. Yet have you not returned unto me. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. 2. Yet have you not returned unto me. Chapter 4, verse 8. 3. Yet have you not returned unto me. Chapter 4, verse 9. 4. Yet have you not returned unto me. Chapter 4, verse 10. 5. Yet have you not returned unto me. Chapter 4, verse 11. The sequential emphasis of the prophet Amos was to build up God's case for the refusal of Israel to follow him. God finally gives up trying to reform them by saying, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Amos chapter 4, verse 12. In other words, five chances were all that God was going to give them. In the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations, which is a message by Jeremiah concerning the complete destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, was also given in a fivefold arrangement. The first chapter has 22 verses, each beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and all the letters are in their regular order. Then, the second chapter also has the same 22 Hebrew letters heading each verse. The third chapter, however, has 66 verses, yet the same feature is retained. Only this time there are three verses beginning with the first Hebrew letter, the next three verses the second letter, etc., until all 22 letters are used up. Finally, chapters 4 and 5 have 22 verses, but for some reason these verses do not begin with the Hebrew letters. Nonetheless, the fivefold division is clearly seen. The number 5 seems to give the theme of any prophecy a sense of certainty or dogmatism. This shows up in the other sections of Scripture where the fivefold arrangement is maintained. In the Torah. The Law of Moses was also divided into five parts. 1. The Book of Genesis. 2. The Book of Exodus. 3. The Book of Leviticus. 4. The Book of Numbers. 5. The Book of Deuteronomy. This could signify that all the law that was necessary to govern Old Testament Israel was found within these fivefold legal books. In the Book of Psalms again. And now, back to our Book of Psalms. It was also arranged in the fivefold scheme. In fact, the ancient Jewish scholars saw a comparison between the five books of Moses' law and the five divisions of the Book of Psalms. The early commentary on Psalms 1, verse 1, called by the Hebrews the Midrash, says, "Moses gave to the Israelites the five books of the law, and corresponding with these, David gave them the five books of the Psalms." A good discussion on the resemblance of each of the five divisions is given in most commentaries at the start of the Book of Psalms. We will demonstrate how they tally in the following. Psalms 1 through 41, Book 1, is equal to Genesis. Psalms 42 through 72, Book 2, is equal to Exodus. Psalms 73 through 89, Book 3, is equal to Leviticus. Psalms 90 through 106, Book 4, is equal to Numbers. Psalms 107 through 151, Book 5, is equal to Deuteronomy. In the books of the Megillat. But there is yet another five-fold prophetic division of the Bible which was designed, like the Psalms, to be read in the temple at certain times of the year. These were the five books in the original Hebrew arrangement of the Old Testament called the Megillat, scrolls, to be read at the holy day seasons and on two commemorative days in the Hebrew calendar. 1. The first book was the Song of Songs, to be read at Passover. 2. The second was Ruth, Pentecost. 3. The third was Lamentations, on the eve of the 10th of Ab, the day on which the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century BCE. See Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 12 through 14, and Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5, and chapter 8, verse 19. 4. The fourth book was Ecclesiastes, read in the period of Tabernacles. And 5. The fifth was Esther, read on Purim. See Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Since the holy day periods given to Israel are of prophetic relevance, it follows that the five books of the Old Testament assigned to be read at those designated times are a commentary on the meaning of the seasons. The Passover season, 1, shows the redemption of Israel from Egypt, and in the New Testament it was the salvation afforded to Christians by Christ's death on the tree of crucifixion, which occurred at Passover. The Song of Songs was read at that time. Its theme is that of a courtship and its setting is springtime. Then, Pentecost, 2, shows the beginning of Israel as a nation at Mount Sinai. Within the New Testament, the Ecclesia of Christ began on that day, Acts chapter 2. The book of Ruth was ordained to be read in the temple and synagogues at that time. It describes Ruth gleaning the first fruit harvest from the land of Boaz in Judah. The theme of the book fits Pentecost perfectly. The eve of the 10th of Ab, 3, was the anniversary day for the destruction of the temple back in the time of Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations was ordained to be read, 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25, and the eve of the 10th of Ab was the day selected for its reading. And what a significant book it was! Its subject was the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Then came Tabernacles, 4. This indicates the time when Israel will be top in the world under their Messiah. It is a time denoting the millennium of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 20, verses 3 through 6. The book of Ecclesiastes, which describes the peaceful reign of Solomon, a type of the millennium, was selected to be read at that season. After that is Purim, 5, which shows the complete redemption of the nation of Judah, a central tribe of Israel and the one responsible for dispensing the message of salvation to the world, John chapter 4, verse 22. The book of Esther was read at that time. Thus, the three holy day seasons and the two main commemorative periods, five sanctified times, were graced with five books that were ordained to be read that backed up the significance of their themes. These five books and holy day seasons also compare interestingly with the five divisions of the Psalms and the five books of the Mosaic Law. Let us explain. Psalms 1, Psalms 1 through 41. Torah, Book 1, equals Genesis. Megillat equals Song of Songs. Psalms 2, Psalms 42 through 72. Torah, Book 2, equals Exodus. Megillat equals Ruth. Psalms 3, Psalms 73 through 89. Torah, Book 3, equals Leviticus. Megillat equals Lamentations. Psalms 4, Psalms 90 through 106. Torah, Book 4, equals Numbers. Megillat equals Ecclesiastes. Psalms 5. Psalms 107 through 150. Torah, Book 5, equals Deuteronomy. Megillat equals Esther. Focus on Book 3. When these three sections of the Old Testament are compared with one another, there is an amazing parallel in many of their features. It is almost as if an overall design was intended by the divine canonizers to show a buttressing effect on the messages found in each book. This may well be. To see this in a clear way, let us focus on Book 3 of the Psalms. This will equate with the Book of Leviticus in the Law of Moses and the Book of Lamentations in the Megillat. The third book of Psalms comprises those from Psalms 73 to 89 inclusively. Anyone who surveys those 17 Psalms can see quite easily that they generally refer, in the main, to the temple at Jerusalem, and usually to its destruction. Note some particular verses in the Psalms of Book 3 which show this. Psalm 73 equals the sanctuary of God they brought into destruction, verses 17 and 18. Psalm 74 equals the enemy has done wickedly in your sanctuary. They have cast fire into your sanctuary. They have defiled by casting your dwelling place, the temple, of your name to the ground, verses 3 and 7. Psalm 75 equals the earth, land, and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, verse 3. Psalm 76 equals in Salem, Jerusalem, is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There, in Jerusalem, broke he the arrows of the bow, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 77, in the day of trouble I sought the Lord. Will the Lord cast off forever? Verses 2 and 7. Psalm 78. He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, when the temple was once there, the tent which he placed among men. Verse 60. Psalm 79 equals, O God, the heathen are come into your inheritance. Your holy temple have they defiled, and there was none to bury them. Verses 1 and 3. The latter references to the two witnesses as shown in the New Testament. See Revelation chapter 11, verse 9. More examples from Book 3 of the Psalms could be given, but this is enough to show that the theme of destruction is the general context of all of those 17 Psalms. And what is parallel to Book 3 of the Psalms? In the Megillat, it is the Book of Lamentations. And, as said before, this book was ordained to be read on the eve of the anniversary of the temple's destruction. Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 12 through 14, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5, and chapter 8, verse 19. There could be no book more apt for comparison to the subject matter of Book 3 of the Psalms. But these two books are arranged opposite, in their fivefold structure, to Book 3 of the Law, the Book of Leviticus. And its theme? It is all about the priesthood and the Levites regarding their duties in the tabernacle and temple. The theme of all three divisions is the temple and factors associated with it. It could hardly be accidental that the books found such an arrangement. The three books support each other in subject matter. Focus on Book 4. Now look at Book 4 of the Psalms. There are also 17 Psalms in this division, Psalms 90 through 106. Psalm 90 introduces its contextual subject by mentioning 1,000 years, verse 4. 1,000 years is, of course, a millennium of time, and the general teaching of these 17 Psalms is millennial, about the time peace and security will be over all the earth. But before peace can come to the earth, there is the time of the great tribulation that must first occur. Psalm 91 describes such a subject in detail. Then it is followed by Psalm 92, a psalm for the Sabbath day. Note its superscription. The Old Testament Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, also represented the 7,000th year period after 6,000 years of human rule, called in the Book of Revelation the 1,000-year time when peace reigns throughout all the earth and Satan is bound in chains. Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 4. And note, it takes only a cursory reading of the rest of the Psalms in Book 4 of the Book of Psalms to see the millennial connection. But also, it must be noted that the Judaic authorities consecrated the Book of Ecclesiastes to be read at the tabernacle season. Ecclesiastes described the glories of the Solomonic kingdom, a type of the millennium, and Tabernacles itself had its spiritual theme as that of the same millennium. Focus on Book 5. Book 5 of the Psalms, Psalms 107 through 150, is associated with Deuteronomy in the law. Deuteronomy is called the Second Law, or a recapitulation of the earlier parts of the Law of Moses. And this is what the 44 Psalms of Book 5 denote, a summing up of the subjects from Book 1 to 4. It is also equal to the Book of Esther, which shows the complete salvation of the Jewish people. It looks like they will be among the last nations on earth to finally accept Christ totally, Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And Book 5 of the Psalms gives information that could emphasize how God will accomplish this salvation upon those of Israel. The Other Books. Books 1 and 2 of the Psalms are songs composed exclusively by King David. At the end of Psalm 72 is the statement, "The prayers of David the son of Jesse are ended." Of course, there are other Davidic psalms in later sections, but this reference indicates that Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41, and Book 2, Psalms 42 through 72, were all written by David. Let us now note this interesting feature. The number of the Davidic psalms are 72, that is 24 times 3. Since King David arranged the Levitical singers into 24 wards, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 8 through 31, it can be seen as being very likely that these first 72 psalms were established to fit a pattern of singing them in order by the Levites, who found themselves positioned by David into 24 divisions. Davidic Psalms. Look at these psalms. In Book 1, there are 41 psalms. If one reckons the first psalm as introductory, then there are 40 psalms left. The number 40 is a number of trial. This is a well-recognized fact by all scholars dealing with biblical symbolism. But in Book 2, there are 31 psalms. If one allows the first psalm of the second book to be introductory, then there are 30 psalms left. When one adds 40 and 30 together, equaling 70, one has the exact age of David when he died. The age of 70 is also considered in Psalm 90 as the ideal length of man's life on earth, Psalm 90, verse 10. And isn't it interesting that Psalm 71, verse 18, next to the last psalm in the Davidic collection, records David as saying, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed." Then, the next psalm, the last one of Book 2, concerns the glories of the Solomonic kingdom which was to occur at the death of David. And 2, Book 1 of the Psalms corresponds to the Song of Songs which was sung at the Passover season. The whole of the 41 psalms, 1 plus 40, relate to this theme. Note, as an example, Psalm 22 which says that the wicked pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 16. This reference in prophecy is to the crucifixion of Christ, who died at the Passover. Also, since Israel came out of Egypt at Passover, the 40 Psalms of Book 1, after the introductory one, probably denote the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The 30 Psalms of Book 2, after the introductory one, may show the 30 years establishing of the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan. And this took exactly 30 years from their crossing of the River Jordan to the death of Joshua. Conclusion. None of us can know for certain why the Psalms in the Book of Psalms are arranged the way they are. Certainly, there is a reason behind their positioning, because some of the Psalms were repeated in other sections. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are virtually the same in content. Yet one occurs in Book 1 and the other in Book 2. Psalm 70 is parallel with Psalm 40, verses 13 through 17. Psalm 60, verses 9 through 12 is parallel with Psalm 108, verses 10 through 13. In fact, with Psalms 9 and 10, there is an acrostic feature, the use of Hebrew letters at the beginning of verses, like in the Book of Lamentations, which shows that the two separate psalms were at one time one psalm. See most any commentary on the Book of Psalms for proof of these points. This all helps to show that there is a definite reason why the psalms are positioned in the way that they were. It is not the simple surface message that they give that presents all the truth. It is also the context in which they occur that makes the difference. And since it can be shown that the psalms in the Book of Psalms are basically of a prophetic nature, it looks like a prophetic theme is to be found within the five-fold divisions of the psalms. We can sum up succinctly what it might mean. 1. The 41, 1 plus 40, Psalms of Book 1 seem to refer to Passover, the beginning of Israel as a nation, and the start of the New Testament plan of salvation with the death and resurrection of Christ. 2. Book 2 is equated with Pentecost, the Feast of the First Fruits. It shows Israel as a corporate body in the land of Israel, and it also can refer to the creation of the New Testament community of believers and the spreading of the gospel to the world. 3. Book 3 is almost totally devoted to describing the destruction of Israel and the temple, both in 586 BC and in 70 CE. This is a subject that parallels the prophecy of the Great Tribulation in the Book of Revelation very well. Indeed, some of the teachings about that great time of trouble are reflective of verses found within this section of the Psalms. 4. Note that Book 4 of the Psalms shows Israel regathered after their ruin, as demonstrated in the context of Book 3. Book 4 concerns the millennium, which is prophesied to happen after the ruin of the Israelite system in Palestine, which occurred before the return of Christ to earth. 5. And finally, Book 5 is equated with the Feast of Purim, the time when Judah, all Israel, shall be delivered, as they were in the Persian period as recorded in the Book of Esther. Book 5 is also similar to that of Deuteronomy in the sense that it combines all the major features of the first four books. Since there are 150 psalms in the entire collection, 3 times 50, there may have been a 3-year reading plan. A reading of a psalm for each of the 150 weeks to correspond with the triennial reading of the Law and the Prophets in the temple, Acts chapter 13, verse 15. This possibility has been suggested in the Jewish Encyclopedia 1911 edition, volume 12, under article Triennial Cycle. This could well be one of the reasons for the positioning of the psalms in the manner they are. The main thing to recognize, however, is that there is far more teaching in the Book of Psalms than it first meets the eye. No one knows for sure just what every detail is trying to reveal. Yet, when one realizes that a consistency of doctrinal and prophetical emphasis is found throughout the Old Testament, it could be that the Psalms are a simple reflection of that fact. These suggestions are intended as a preliminary survey of the various five-fold sections which are found in the Old Testament. Recall that the New Testament also has a five-fold Pentateuch of the Gospels and Acts, and Matthew's Gospel itself is arranged in a five-fold structure. It appears, when one studies these designs closely, we find that they are not haphazardly formed, but that some kind of message is intended by their application in matters of interpretation. Certainly, further research among scholars and biblical students is needed to comprehend these matters in a better way. Such study, however, would be facilitated if people will retain the manuscript order of the biblical books, rather than the arbitrary one that is now being presented to the world. We hope that the information in this book can prove to be an incentive to accomplish this task.